Blog Talk Radio.
Joking when he kicked him out of Eden, it wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, bar and dove. Our God is an awesome God. Into the darkness and created the light. Judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Welcome to the show here, Guru Preacher. We're going to have a lot to discuss as you looked at the situations that developed throughout the world. We see there's a lot of questions that need to be discussed, a lot of things from the Bible that need to be discussed. So today we'll look at and look into the Bible and discuss the following areas. If we can't get to all of them, we'll try. What is God's purpose for all of us? I mean, literally, what is it? What, I mean, are we, again, like we said before, is... are we supposed to just live and die? Is it wrong to love yourself? Question mark. What is the golden rule? Another question mark. Why study the Bible? Another big question mark. Why study the Bible? Seriously, is it something I can learn from or take away from and maintain? It sure is, but it's something you have to do yourself. And understand that by doing it, you got to take in the knowledge of it, because knowledge is power. And we'll try to also get to the Hollywood preachers. We'll try to discuss that on a regular basis and talk about what you have to do's and don'ts of dealing with Hollywood preachers and what to watch out for to help you along if you decide that's the route you want to take in your world, is to deal with that whole situation with the numerous billions of dollars spent on these Hollywood preachers that are out there broadcasting to you what's legitimate and what isn't. But let's break it down and start off with where we left off. Because we left off talking about the issues from Satan, the devil, the slanderer, the opposer, what he was trying to do and how he's been influencing a lot of things in the world versus what we think today being other forces. There's good and evil, as we all know, but the biggest problem that people have is to understand what really is creating the problems in the world. We talked about who rules the world. Remember, we discussed that. And we found out from the Bible itself that Satan is the ruler of the world. And what he's been doing with the world right now over thousands upon thousands of years has been brutal to mankind. And there's a reason for him not wanting mankind to basically succeed, obviously because he could care little about him, versus God, who cares more about him. So the question was raised. And now the question is pretty much, in my opinion, probably yours too, been answered. So now we're going to talk about what is going to be this new earth. What is it? I mean, since we know that Satan's idea, this angel's idea of this planet, how man should rule and how they should not need God, has been, well, terrible, futile, if you will, failed miserably. So we got to have something to replace that, don't we? We just can't think it's just going to end, because the Bible says the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Well, there's a beginning and the end of this whole craziness that we see. The end is close, as we all know. We keep hearing that, but what's going to be at the end? Well, there's going to be a new earth. The Bible even talks about that, because the Bible basically assures you. And let's look at a scripture. We're going to go to 2 Peter, which is in the New Testament, and your Bibles will have it say a few things a little different. Maybe they can say the same way. 2 Peter verses chapter 3 verses 13. 2 Peter 3 verses 13. We're going to read this real quick here for you. But there are new heavens and a new earth that we are awaiting according to his promise, right? And in these righteousness is to dwell. So the new heavens and the new earth that we are waiting for according to his promise. Whose promise would that be? That would be God's promise through the messenger, his son, Jesus Christ, who was giving this message out, and for all these prophets that have been giving this message of this thing to take place eventually. So for thousands of years, this message has been pumped into many people, pumped into other people to try to let people understand this is not it. What you see in front of you is not it. There's more coming, and it's much better than what you've been seeing. Let's take a look at the book of Isaiah, which is back in the Old Testament. I know, scroll around, but like I said before, write all these scriptures down, read them, meditate on them, think about what's been said, and get a better understanding of what's going to happen here. And we're talking about a new earth. We're not talking about earth being a fireball like most people try to tell you it's going to happen to them, which is a bunch of hogwash. Isaiah 65 and verse 17. Isaiah 65 and verse 17. For look, I am creating new heavens and a new earth. Now, this is Isaiah prophesying to the people there, saying, hey, this is what's going to take place. And the former things will not be called to mind. In other words, all the things that had taken place before will not come around again, ever. No, they come up into the heart. In other words, you'll never see these things happening again. They'll be gone. History. End of story. So the Bible is basically telling you, and it's speaking of what? Speaking of a new earth that we are going to live on, We are going to live on this. This is not something that's going to go away. This planet is not going to go away, which is why I kind of put in the Hollywood preacher portion of it, because a lot of people have given you misinformation on what's going to happen at the end of this planet. And a lot of Bible writers were very, very stressful on the fact of saying, look, you know, is this a waste of my time? Jesus said, no, it's not a waste of your time. You're giving a message out to the people of the area you live in now, but that message is going to spread worldwide. And everybody, because the Bible is one of the most produced books and distributed books in the world, are going to hear that message. And that message is what? That there is going to be a better living condition on planet Earth. So, the righteous new Earth is a society of people, as we all know, who receive God's approval. In other words, look, you're just not going to move in. All right? You're going to have the approval of God. And this is why God was talking in general about how you have to live your lives and how things are supposed to be. So this new earth is going to be filled with those people that really want to live according to God's ways of doing things, not according to Satan's ways of doing things, but God's ways of doing things, which is a big difference here. I understand there's a lot being thrown at you when it comes to this, but this whole situation here has to be talked about in order for you to understand what you're going to get into with the Bible. So the Bible is not just some book that you have to read and think, okay, I've read it, I'm good, like I said before. No, you have to understand it. You have to take it in and understand what you've learned and use what you've learned to help others do the same. So far we've learned what? We've learned that there's going to be a new earth, a new place for everybody to live. Call it what you want, a paradise. I've heard the same before. I'm living the paradise. I'm living the dream, all these things. Well, the dream in paradise is yet to come. Right now you're living in a nightmare. Just saying, you're just living a nightmare right now. Okay, so this new paradise, this new earth, as they're calling it, is going to be a place where you can grow, you can live, and you're not going to have any issues. And the health of your own person is going to be just completely no sickness, no nothing, as the Bible talked about also. So what is a priceless gift from God? What is it? I mean, what is he telling you there? And what must you do, and me, both, all of us, do to receive this gift? And the approval is important in this, because Jesus promised in the coming new world that we're going to come into, that those that we, that God approves of, so to speak, will receive a gift of what? What kind of gift do you think you're going to receive? Well, Jesus made it clear, everlasting life. So what does that mean? Everlasting life. Open your Bible books to John 3:16. This is a very familiar scripture, isn't it? John 3:16. This has always been one that's been been thrown around in the stadiums. You see it when people are trying to kick a field goal. You know, if you're watching the game, you see John 3:16 on a little banner behind it sometimes. So let's actually read that scripture and see what Jesus was talking about here, about everlasting life. John 3:16, which is in the New Testament. It's one of the Gospels, the Good News, whatever you call it. For God loved the world so much. This is Jesus now talking. This is part of a major prayer here. That he gave his only begotten son. So that everyone exercising faith in him, in Jesus Christ, might not be destroyed, but have what? Everlasting life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. So that everyone exercising faith in him might not be destroyed, but have everlasting life. Now, why would you offer something like that if you can't give it to somebody? Well, again, we know that God will not just do something without maintaining it. You know, if he's going to give you something, it's going to take place. He's not going to take it away. Fascinating to think about everlasting life, because we know we live at least 100 years, and that's really rare, and we die. Everlasting life, we can't fathom living for thousands of years. But remember, Adam lived a long time. A ripe old age of 800, 900 years. I mean, they lived a long time. Back in the Bible days, these people lived a long time. But this is going to be something to look forward to. Stay in the book of John and go to John 17 and verse 3. That's right, John 17 and verse 3. This is Jesus yet again stressing to everybody out there, to his disciples and others. This means everlasting life. They're coming to know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. Now, here's Jesus saying what? Get to know who? The only true God. And to know who? The one who sent Jesus Christ. So you see the comparison here? Everlasting life is just not something about faith. It's about you getting to know the only true God and to getting to know Jesus Christ. This is important, right? And that will help you get, that will get you everlasting life. So how do you get to know someone? How do you get to know someone? Simple, isn't it? You have to get to know what they're all about. And where do you get to know them? In the Bible. The Bible has got everything that God has done, everything in the 66 books of the Bible. And these books are for you. And I'm quite sure we could argue the point that there should be more or less, but we don't know because this is the books that we have. But believe me when I say it, the books that you have are enough knowledge to learn about God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Everlasting life, John 17:3, in a nutshell. So when you look at this and you ask the question, how can we be sure that will be a peace and prosperity, you know, some peace and security, if you will, everywhere on the planet? How do we know? How can we be sure of that? Well, there's a lot of reasons we can be sure of that. And the main reason is it's going to get rid of all this wickedness that we see. There's a lot of wars, crime, violence. All this is going to be history. It's going to be gone. It's not going to be here no more. Because the Bible stresses this point by saying this at Psalms 37, which is in the old, Psalms chapter 37, verses 10 and 11. Like I said before, we're going to back things up with Scripture, aren't we? Completely. Just a little while longer at Psalms 37, verses 10 and 11. Just a little while longer, and the wicked will be no more. In other words, a little while longer could be, we think, oh, you know, it's been too long. I agree with that too. But just a little longer, and the wicked will be no more. You will look at everywhere you go and everything you see, and there'll be nothing there to worry about. And they will not be there. All this crime and things will not be there anymore. But the meek, that's right, the meek will possess the earth. And believe me when they say this part, and they will find exquisite delight in the abundance of peace. Delight in what? Peace. I mean, there's so many wars raging on as we speak around the world. So much violence in towns and cities. People just brutally destroying each other. Brutally killing young kids, children, and elderly. It's a worldwide event, because guess what? Satan knows he only has a little longer left, and he's doing everything in his power to take anything with him. Anything with him. That's how he operates. So you look at those scriptures and you ask yourself, well, what's next? How are we supposed to get through this? God's going to bring an end to this, isn't he? Peace will exist because God's going to bring an end to all the wars. Every one of them. He's going to end them all. This is my favorite scripture that I like to go to help point to the reasoning that the prophet Isaiah was talking about here and what God is going to do to make this matter set straight, if you will. Isaiah chapter 2, which is in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. He will render judgment among the nations. This is what God's going to do. Among the nations, not just a nation, among the nations, and set matters straight. Respecting many peoples out there. They will beat their swords into plowshares. In other words, they'll not be having swords anymore. They'll be having plowshares, which will be used for farming. Right? And their spears into pruning shears. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, nor will they war anymore. They won't even learn about war anymore. Good scripture to hold on to, Isaiah 2:4. He's going to render judgment on the nations. Simple as that. Just remember that scripture. Remember that scripture wholeheartedly, okay? We're going to take a quick break and come back, and we're going to talk more about the security that you're going to have in this new world, if you will. Because this security is important. Because the righteous will flourish with peace and will abound until until there's nothing else to worry about. And that it literally means forever. It doesn't just mean a certain time frame. This is going to happen forever. But guess what? To destroy the argument of the earth being a fireball, the Bible says what? The meek will possess the earth. The meek will possess the earth. Psalms 37, 10 and 11. Look that up for yourself. Again, Psalms 37, 10 and 11. So we're going to take a quick break and come back, and we'll talk more in detail about this new earth, this new purpose for you, what to expect, how to grow, all of these things. You've always heard a lot of issues around the world when it comes to food and water and things of that nature. There are a lot of people starving to death. And I guess a lot of people argue that point as to how are you supposed to be able to feed all these people. Well, the Bible has examples of that being taken care of, but it also didn't have what we have today in a world around us where governments pretty much take care of their own. This is not going to be any different governments. This can be God's order. This can be His kingdom, right? Not anybody else's. Nobody's going to intervene. Nobody's going to come in and say, okay, can I help you with this? No, this is God running the show. Okay, because now God has said, you know what? As we talked about before, Satan, you've had plenty of time to prove a point to all around if man can take care of themselves. And this point has been, well, it hasn't happened, has it? That's all I can say to that. So there'll be no food shortages to worry about. There'll be abundance of grain everywhere. Everything you're going to need, it's going to be there. Okay, and that's exactly what God can do. God's capable of doing that because He did it for the Israelites. Right? All they had to do was obey Him, and that's exactly what happened. They were provided all the food and water, the things that they needed, nourishment, clothing, housing, all of that. That was their little paradise, so to speak. So we know there's going to be plenty of food out there. There'll be no food shortages. I want you to look at the book of Psalms again. Go to the book of Psalms again and go to chapter 72 and verse 16. Now, if you don't want to do it now, you can read this stuff in a different time if you want. But it's important to understand that these are all issues that are written in the Bible. My point to you is this. I'm stressing this. The Bible says these things are going to happen. Okay. And I know a lot of people lose faith and say, you know, it's just too much. I can't deal with it. But listen, these things are coming. And all I can tell you is they're coming soon. We don't know exactly when, but they're coming. There'll be an abundance of grain on the earth. It's Psalm 72, verse 16. There'll be abundance of grain on the earth. An abundance. On the top of the mountains, it will overflow. His fruits will flourish as in Lebanon. Lebanon used to be a place full of beautiful cedar trees, a lot of fruit trees and everything. And in the cities, people will blossom like the vegetation of the earth. So we'll see a whole new world with all the needs provided. There'll be no issues. Again, this is through God's approval. You have to meet God's approval to get with this right here. This is not something you're just going to get. All right? You've got to be able to have God's approval to get it. And how do you do that? By taking in knowledge and learning and having faith that this is going to happen and having faith in Jesus Christ giving you the right messages. This is important. So take Psalm 72:16 to heart. God's going to bless the righteous ones. And the earth itself is going to give the produce for it. It's going to give you what you need. If you back up a few scriptures, you'll see that at Psalm 67, verse 6. I'm sorry if I'm giving you too many scriptures. But I don't apologize for it. I think it's exciting to learn based on fact right in front of your face, right? It's not me just giving hearsay or opinions like a lot of Hollywood preachers and these people just give their opinions on how things are. When you ask for facts, the facts are the Bible, the scriptures. You ask them to look it up for you and tell you where it's at. They can't tell you. We're going to tell you where it's at. Psalm 67 and verse 6. The earth will give its produce. God, our God, will bless us. The earth will give its produce. God, our God, will bless us. You are going to have no problems with food and all the rest that goes with it. The whole world itself is going to become known as, well, call it what you want, a paradise. It's not going to be some place that's going to be burnt, like I said before, some dark rock and space. There'll be a lot of new homes and gardens that you'll be occupying the land with and dealing with. And they won't have the ruinization that they used to have from sinful humans. This is all going to be new. As time goes on, when you think about this, this is something that's not going to just be a day thing. It's going to take a long time. Things are going to be developing as we go along. Okay, as time passes, parts of the earth already is going to be subdued. It'll expand upon and out to the entire globe, basically, and the whole globe's going to have it. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a Garden of Eden on a global scale. I guess that's the way to describe it. A Garden of Eden on a global scale. That's what you have to look at. That's what you have to look at. Put this scripture down and use this for your own benefit down the road, just to keep yourself motivated. Go to Psalms 145 and verse 16. This is a very motivating scripture. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Every living thing. Not just mankind, but we're talking animals, everything. All creatures are going to have satisfaction. Isn't that good to know? Isn't that great to know? I think it is. So you say, okay, you're going to satisfy everything. You're going to take care of all of that, animals and people. So how? What shows that peace will exist between animals and people? I mean, human beings, how's that going to work? Because there'll be a peace between humans and animals, period. Wild and domestic animals will feed together. Wild and domestic animals are going to, they're going to actually feed together. Instead of attacking, one attacking the other, they're going to be living together. And even a child himself will have nothing to fear from animals that are we consider dangerous right now. Here's a really good set of scriptures to read, because the book of Isaiah, yet again, is filled with prophecy of things to come. I want you to read Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9. This is beautiful scripture. This is beautiful scripture. Isaiah 11, which is in the Old Testament, verses 6 through 9. The wolf will reside for a while with the lamb. That's right. The wolf will reside with the lamb. And with the young goat, the leopard will lie down. And the calf and the lion and the fattened animal will all be together. They'll all be together. And the little boy will lead them. Can you imagine that? The cow and the bear will feed together. And their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the bull. The nursing child will play over the lair of a cobra. And the weaned child will put his hand over the den of a poisonous snake. They will not cause any harm or any ruin in all my holy mountain, because the earth will certainly be filled with the knowledge of God, and the waters cover the sea. So you see this? This is very important. All of these things here are going to be, we can't fathom that right now. We can't even, we have to look at these wild animals through a cage, right? We can't even get close. But if a wolf is going to reside with a lamb, and a young boy is going to lead a lion and a calf off by walking them around, if you will, this is going to show you what kind of peace you're going to have. Peace and harmony between animals and people, which is unheard of. I mean, it's just unheard of right now. Just imagine walking around with a tiger, you know, or walking around with your favorite animal you like on TV, things like this, walking with them, not having to fear them anymore. And vice versa, they don't have to fear you. All these things would be good to have around. One thing I think would be great to have. Awesome, in my opinion. And this is what God is going to do for you. If you didn't know this already, now you know. Okay? It's exciting to me. We're going to have another big issue that's going to take place, because we know right now that the world is full of sickness, isn't it? And we're not just talking about various pandemics and things, but sickness in general. It's going to go away. History. Because you have to remember something. Jesus was here and gave you an example of that, on the healings and all the things that he did. But this is going to be on a larger scale than that. A larger scale. It's going to be worldwide. Period. Again, look into the book of Isaiah. And it, basically what he said here was, no resident will say I'm sick ever again. No resident will say that. The book of Isaiah, chapter 33 and verse 24. And no resident will say, I am sick. The people dwelling in the land will be pardoned for their error. No sickness, no nothing. Isn't that great to know? To know that you're not going to be sick ever again? And go, just go a couple of chapters further up in the same book of Isaiah to chapter 35. And let's read verses 5 and 6. Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. At that time, the eyes of the blind will be opened. Woof, wow. No more blindness. And the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. They'll be able to hear again. At that time, the lame will leap like a deer. In other words, you're not going to be handicapped at all. And the tongue of the speechless will shout for joy. For waters will burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert plain. Wow. All these barren wastelands will become places where you can get fresh water. And I mean, there's going to be so much happening here. All these people, just imagine if you were deaf. I mean, right now we have this high-tech stuff that we can hear with. But just imagine this on a world scale. Just imagine the blind being able to see again. That's a crazy thought, isn't it? And those that couldn't speak will be able to talk. All this is going to take place according to prophecy. That's right. It's all going to happen. Where's it going to happen at? Where's it going to happen? Mars or Venus or no, Jupiter? No. Here on Earth. It's not going to happen in some cosmos, some different area. It's happening here on Earth, which, again, gets the fear of this so-called planet blowing up, being destroyed by God out of your head. Because we have a God who's a loving God, as you just heard from the song. You think a loving God is going to destroy something he created for you and me? I don't think so. So I hope that's getting that thought out of your head and letting you understand that all of these things that he's going to do is to benefit all of us. But you have to meet his approval. You have to meet his approval. We're going to cut it off right there, okay, because there's a lot to learn and more so than you can understand. When it looks to a whole different situation when it comes to like the resurrection and things of that nature, it's a discussion that is going to be deep and one that we all want to. Because we know dead loved ones will be restored to life. They'll be restored to life with the prospect of never dying again. It's going to be amazing to be able to see these people again, isn't it? And the book of Acts, chapter 24, verse 15, talks about that. But you could also read a very important scripture talking about how the dead loved ones will come back to life. At John, chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, from Jesus' own lips. John 5, verses 28 and 29, the New Testament. Do not be amazed at this, for the hour is coming in which all those in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who did good things to a resurrection of life, and those who practice vile things to a resurrection of judgment. There's a whole different scenario playing out, but they're all being resurrected. Okay? All being resurrected. Depending on your deeds, correct? But you're coming out, being resurrected to either a resurrection of life or those who practice bad things to a resurrection of judgment. But you still have an opportunity, don't you? Because the wages of sin is death. That's already gone by you. So see the opportunity here? Billions of people, that's about to take place. Unbelievable, isn't it? You never hear about this, do you? This is something you never talk about in church, is it? I mean, again, your dead loved one's not going to come back with the same body. Obviously, that's not the case. But we know you'll recognize them. You'll be able to recognize them. They'll be able to recognize you. This is one thing and one marvelous thing that God's capable of doing. I mean, think about it. He put together a beautiful place to live. He put together all the insects and animals that we see, and even you and me, gave us life, gave all these insects and the animals life, all the things you see, he gave these to you. Do you think how hard it's going to be for him, it's going to be hard at all for him to bring you back? No, not even close. And again, the Bible has examples of that. Jesus with Lazarus, right? What he did there, resurrected him. So understand this from the Bible. Understand this. The Bible is very clear on what's going to take place for you. The purpose of God is clear. And you summarize by saying, we know that the rule of the world is not going to be around. That rule of that at that time, being Satan, the devil, is going to no longer have any influence under this. Because God is going to be in charge here. This is going to be his kingdom through his son, Jesus Christ, maintaining it. This is going to be an incredible, incredible ordeal for all in question. So what a marvelous future awaits all of us. All of us. And the way to do it is to learn about the grand creator. Learn who he is and serve him well. Serve him well. Remember that you'll be in paradise. A paradise. Along with, guess what? Those people that you've maybe learned to learn about in school or learned about in the Bible. They're going to be there too. This is going to be an amazing event. It's not just going to be, oh, okay, I'm back, boom. No, you're going to be able to meet people that you wanted to meet for hundreds of years, that you heard about in history books. These are things that are going to take place, and it's going to be a marvelous thing. And they're going to be like, wow, wait a minute. They're going to be the same way. Wow. The technologies of the world, you think that's going to change? No. Why would it? Because everything that's been advancing right now, why not keep what we got? Nothing's going to change there, except God is going to be in charge. He's going to take care of things. So remember this. In this coming new world that God's proposed for us and purposed for us in general, God will bestow many blessings upon mankind. Take those scriptures and understand what you've learned. Remember now, as we speak now, Satan now rules this world. And you remember the scriptures, John 12:31 and 1 John 5:19. That's 1 John 5:19, very important scripture to learn, showing you, visually showing you who is in charge of this world. At 1 John 5:19, there's like three little books of John, which is in the New Testament. It's very straightforward. We know that we originate with God, but the whole world is lying in the power of wickedness, or the power of the wicked one. So wickedness has been created by who? The whole world is lying in that power. The whole world, not just a portion of it, not just the United States or South Africa, or the whole world. This is the kind of power this ruler has right now, but he won't have soon. He won't have that very soon. Because he'll be judged and cast out, as it says in John chapter 12 and verse 31. That's right. He'll be done away with. Okay, done away with, because everything he tried has failed. Completely failed. So what do you think? I mean, do you think this is a bunch of malarkey? Do you think this is possible? I mean, I think it's possible. In fact, it is possible. Anything that God wants to do is going to be possible. There's no way around that. Just remember that. No way around that. So when you draw close to God, remember this. When you draw close to him, how do you do that? Well, the best way is to learn about God. You can have a special relationship with God. Be a special friend, if you will. Because God will truly value you if you try to get close to him. He deeply cares about you. And he fully understands you. Guess what? He knows you. He knew you from the womb, according to the Bible. But you have to trust him with your utmost feelings. Because you know he's loyal to you, so you have to be loyal to him. But remember this. This relationship, this intimacy between you and God, this privileged intimacy, as I call it, it's within reach of you. Because why? Because God made it possible. He could have just said, you know, like you said before in the Bible, oh, we can just start over again. But no, the question was raised, as we learned here. The question was raised. Now God is answering it. Because God is answering, because Satan is failing miserably. Failing miserably. Just remember what you're dealing with here. All the questions have been answered. Now it's just a matter of time for God to decide when he will decide to put an end to it all. That's the key to understanding all these things. We're going to come back and we're going to do some, we're going to talk about a very important subject to a lot of people. This is not egotistical. This is just basically, is it wrong to love yourself? Is there a problem to love yourself? Don't take this the wrong way when this comes up, but you know, a lot of people today do. They love themselves more than anything else. Egotistical, whatever the case may be, but there's nothing wrong with loving yourself. Loving yourself in a certain way is what we're going to talk about. We'll come back and discuss that in a minute.
Thank you.
Loving yourself. That's egotistical, isn't it? Well, the Bible pretty much wants you to understand that this is something you have to learn to love yourself in order to be able to love others in reality. When you think about it, if you have no pride in yourself, you're pretty much lost. Okay, you got to take care of yourself and take care of your well-being and everything. These are very key, interesting points to make if you're gonna basically get on with life. As a Christian, you have to do these things. You have to. It tells you in reality that your attitude toward yourself, by respecting yourself and having a sense of self, are very important. But it's the thing to remember. This is something you want to do yourself instead of glorifying your selfishness. In other words, being selfish toward yourself. Because the Bible does put self-love in its rightful place. It makes it very clear what you should be and not shouldn't be. The book of Matthew, chapter 10 and verse 31, we'll just cover real quick, is something that is more of a motivational scripture for you. In Matthew 10, verse 31, Jesus said these words, "So have no fear, you're worth more than many sparrows." He's motivating, look, you know, you come first in this. So just remember to be that way to yourself. Love yourself to a reasonable degree. You know, don't put it out to like you're puffed up with pride, so to speak. But then the question that gets raised after that is, whom should you love first? Love for your God comes first in our hearts, right? That's how it should be. Because there's a few commandments here that have to come into play here. Because Jesus said this very, very adamantly towards his disciples and others. the greatest commandments are pretty much the ones that you have to look into. You must love your God with your whole heart and soul and mind, if you will. I mean, Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 30 talks about that whole situation. You must love your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and with your whole mind, and with your whole strength. And that's found in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Again, your whole what? Your whole heart, your whole soul, which is your whole being, your whole mind. That's basically thinking about God, and with your whole strength. And that being faithful and strong about it. The second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. That's a very difficult one for us to do, isn't it? That is so hard for people to do. We live next to each other. We don't even know each other half the time. I mean, you're crossing by, hey, bum, bum, bum. And you know, the reason, big reason for that is we live in a very stress-filled world where closing a door and locking it is the key because of security reasons, because of a lot of crime and a lot of issues. Trust has become a very bad thing now. We don't have trust anymore. But it's hard for us to do that. It's hard for you to love your neighbor as yourself, isn't it? As the Bible commands you to do. This is a commandment. Okay, this is Jesus Christ making sure you understand. This is a commandment here. Loving yourself is not a big deal, but make sure it's within a reasonable degree. And have self-respect for yourself. It's very beneficial to have to dress nicely and shave and, you know, do things you can for yourself to look clean. And, you know, that's, respecting yourself is important. Look yourself in the mirror, take a look and go, hey, you know, I'm looking pretty good today. I feel good about myself. But understand that this feeling good is something that comes with a price, okay? You want to make sure you don't make it into the point where I'm better than you, because you're not. We're all on the same plane of existence, if you will. He showed how to balance that, all right? Love your neighbor, and love for yourself is very important. You want to make sure you understand that you got to make sure that God comes first, and also make sure that you take whole heart in loving your neighbor as you would yourself. These, to me, are very important scriptures because it leads up to a lot of different things that we have. There's a lot of other things that most people don't realize that we could talk about and discuss that relate to love, that relate to love in general. So when you look at this whole scenario by loving yourself, remember it's not to be egotistical. Stay away from that. Stay away from that. Just a brief encounter for yourself to understand, hey, there's nothing wrong with it. It's within reason. Have respect for yourself. Because a lot of people don't, man. A lot of people are depressed, constantly depressed. They put themselves down. Guess who's helping do that? Satan's the one that wants you to stay down. He wants you to stay down in the dumps big time. He has no desire for you to lift yourself up. But when you get to know God, it's what's the most important thing about it, and his son Jesus Christ and how things are meant to be, you start lifting yourself up. And Satan doesn't want that. He wants nothing to do with that. Nothing. Take that away. Is it wrong to love yourself? No. But there's a degree, right? Let's talk about the golden rule. The golden rule. Just remember this about the golden rule, okay? The term golden rule, as we probably know, it doesn't appear in the Bible. It's just what people say. It's a saying. It's basically referred to as a rule of conduct that Jesus taught, that Jesus basically taught his followers and others to go by. And it's a very important thing to know because this came off the Sermon on the Mount, the famous speech, as I commonly call it, the famous speech. And when Jesus mentioned this scripture, because it's at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, it's also in Luke 6:31. This was meant to emphasize you as an individual, how you're supposed to be towards others. And this is what he said in Matthew 7 and verse 12. Matthew, again, is in the New Testament, chapter 7 and verse 12. All things, therefore, that you want men to do to you, you must also do to them. This, in fact, is what the law and the prophets mean. So, in other words, you would want somebody to do bad things to you, right? So you wouldn't do bad things to them. You're going to want good things for each other. That's the golden rule, man. That's what it boils down to. Your conduct towards others is the way it should be. You should be mirroring that conduct. And also, the golden rule has been expressed in different ways, too. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, right? Pretty much what the golden rule is. That's a big thing there. Jesus stressed that point, stressed it well. So what's the meaning of this thing? I mean, what's the meaning of the golden rule? What makes it such a big issue? Well, the golden rule encourages you to treat others as you'd like to be treated, correct? Basically, how you want to be treated. An example. Most people appreciate it when others treat them with respect, right? You appreciate that. Kindness and, a loving, kind person. They like that. So it's great to have that feeling, isn't it? So why can't we do that to others? We should be able to do the same to others. That's pretty much what the golden rule talks about. It's beneficial in many ways. It can strengthen your marriage, right? It can guide parents in raising kids. It helps you in that way also. It promotes good relations between friends, neighbors, and fellow workers. This golden rule has a lot to offer, right? It has a lot to offer as you as an individual, as a Christian. And it applies in all different situations. Like I said, marriage, you can use it well in marriage. Guide parents from raising kids, because that's a big part of life, raising kids. When it comes to strengthening a marriage, which is where Satan likes to attack. Satan loves to attack marriages. He doesn't like the sanctity between a man and a woman. He wants that to be destroyed. And he will do everything he can to get people to get divorces and separate and do whatever. To strengthen your marriage is very important. And that's what it can do for you. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. This is the Bible writer Paul talking. The book of Ephesians, which is in the New Testament. And go to chapter 5. We're going to read verses 28 and then verse 33. But let's start off with Ephesians 5, verse 28. Paul said to these individuals this way. He said, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. A man who loves his wife loves himself. In other words, it's a bond, man. It's between you both. You should love her just as much as you love yourself, is what Paul was stressing. At Ephesians 5, 28. Listen, the same chapter. Let's go to verse 33. Nevertheless, each one of you must love his wife as he does himself. On the other hand, the wife should have deep respect for her husband. See? It goes both ways. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a marriage. That's how a marriage should be. Deep respect and love for one another. And your parents, and you're having kids. And this is a guideline for that, too, in the same book, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Paul gives a guideline for that. And fathers, do not be irritating your children, but go on bringing them up in their discipline and make sure they understand God, right? So don't irritate them. Don't treat them and tease them and punish them just don't be ridiculous with your kids. All right? Don't beat them. You know what I'm saying? These are your kids. This is your lifeblood. Treat them with respect, but also treat them fairly. Let them know what's right and wrong. And you want to promote good relations between friends, right? Neighbors and workmates. I mean, that's hard to do. It really is. But in the book of Colossians, which is also in the New Testament, another a very important scripture to look at. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, I want you to write all these things down, okay? You write them down. Continue putting up with one another and forgiving one another freely, even if anyone has a cause for complaint against another. Just as God freely forgave you, you must also do the same. Think about that. God forgave you, so hey, how come you can't? And it's like Jesus said, and Jesus said this in most cases, don't let the anxieties of the day go into the next day. If you have an issue with somebody else, so don't let that go into the next day. Get it out and solve it that day. Forgive each other, talk about it, get it done, because it doesn't do any good to carry it over. That's a good relationship you can have with people and constantly want to have with people. There's so many questions about the golden rule too, but we don't have to get into all these things. To apply the golden rule is simple. Be observant. Basically pay close attention to those around you. If, for example, you see someone struggling with groceries or hear a neighbor who's hospitalized or notice that workmate is discouraged or having problems, well, look out for them. Look out for the interests of others. You might find a lot of opportunities to do that. You may never, but if you do, just take care of it for them. Help people out. Be empathetic. Imagine yourself in the other person's place. How would you feel if you were in the same situation as that person? Show empathy. Because when you try to understand their feelings as well, you'll feel a lot better. And you'll feel moved to help that person. You'll be moved to help that person. So show empathy. Be flexible with others too. And keep in mind that everyone is different. Everyone's different in so many ways. What others like to have done for them may not be the same as what you do for yourself, right? But you don't know. Be flexible. Just appreciate each other. And bottom line, just appreciate each other. So be observant, be empathetic, and be flexible. A big part of the golden rule. The golden rule is just not one thing. It's what you do in life. It's how you treat others in life. How you strengthen your marriage. How you take care of your kids and your friends and family and neighbors. And how all these things play into the golden rule. That one scripture, Matthew 7:12, covers a lot, doesn't it? It covers quite a lot. So remember the golden rule. Remember that. And why study the Bible, right? That's the other topic we talk about. Why study this book? I mean, is it really worth your time to study? I mean, why study the Bible? It's a big, important topic of interest for a lot of people. I think it's a very important book to read, period. You have got to know a lot about the Bible. The Bible's got a lot in there. And to study it is very important. How many study? We're talking about, it talks about the purpose of life. Why do people suffer and die? What does the future hold for most of us, all of us? And does God care about me? Well, we know God cares about you. Obviously, we wouldn't be discussing that. But understand that. Understand the questions that the Bible have in this area are mountainous for you to study on. Get yourself a study program when it comes to that. Figure things out for yourself. Figure out how you can do all that. I mean, understand the different things the Bible will offer, how it can change your life, how it can make things better for you, how you can become more of an observant person about things. The Bible does all these things. Do you think that these people that wrote the Bible didn't practice what they wrote? Of course they did. Once they wrote it down, they said, oh, well, okay, yeah, that's what I need to do. Okay. So they did that, and they made themselves have better lives. And the study of the Bible is such a big thing. There's so many things to reference in the Bible. We know the Bible comes from the Greek word biblia, which means little books. There's a lot of little books here to remember that. And it was written by about 40 different writers, 40 different secretaries, as I call them, over a long period of time. A long period of time. Over 1,600 years we know of, at least. And the Bible itself has been translated, my goodness, in so many languages. Over 2,500 different languages. So by studying the Bible, you're not alone. You're not alone. There's an estimated 5 billion Bibles right now around the world being distributed. 5 billion. Well, the population is, what, 7 billion? So you're in good company here. So this book is never gone away. Okay, and this is the point I'm making here. The Bible has lived through so much, and it's still here. All right. In fact, it's growing, and more people are trying to take it away. Right? They're trying to take it out of hotels and other places. They're trying to get rid of it. They're trying to say this book is not worthy. You're messing with my religion. You're bumping. You're defacing me. You're disrespecting me because you say the word God. Or you say the word Jesus, or, you know, this is what's happening in the world today. And guess what? It's being successful in certain areas, but you can make it successful yourself by putting it on your iPad or your tablet and have your own book there, your own Bible, whatever Bible you like to use. It's your preference. The Bible itself contains 39 books that were written in Hebrew. Some passages of the Bible were also in Aramaic. And I think about 27 books itself were written in Greek. So there's three facts of the Bible you need to know about. But also understand this book is a fascinating book. It's the authors, well, the actual author himself is God. But his editors, if you will, carried on quite a relationship with God. And this is how you, as an individual, can carry on your relationship with God. You can learn the truth. This is the most important part. The truth about God. All the stuff that we hear today, all the things that we hear about God, God did this, God did that. You'd be shaking your head after you learn. I said, that's not true. God didn't do that. And that's what we're going to do with the show. We're going to learn these things, but we're not going to fear what other people think about it. This is your Bible. This is your book. This is your world. And those that have not been using the Bible and those that have been doing other things other than the Bible to draw attention and to make things different than what it should be, that's written in the book, good luck to you, because the Bible talks about you too. It talks about what conditions you're going to have, because if you start to add or take things away from this book, it's not going to be a pretty picture for you. So study the Bible. Study it. If you get off today and you get done with this radio show, don't just sit there and go, okay, I'm done with it. No. Take your book. Find something that might interest you in there. You might have an interest in Noah. You might have an interest in Paul or Moses or, I mean, King David or King Solomon. You might have an interest. Start researching it. There's a lot of research out there that you can get. And start looking into them. And start looking at all these Bible characters that helped write this book. And the interests they had. And the relationships they had with God. And you look at the disciples, for example, man, the relationship they had with Christ. And then they had to write these books down and write all this information down in these books for you today to have a good interest in Christ. Isn't it amazing how that played out? This book has survived countless attempts to destroy it. And it's surviving today, even more so now in high tech. It's hard to get rid of this book, isn't it? Now you really have a real hard time getting rid of it because it's now written down and placed in a format that you might even be better at on your phone or whatever the case may be to look up information. Don't hesitate, in my opinion, once you start studying, don't hesitate to ask questions about it. Ask questions to people that may know, have the answers better than I do. Talk to them about it, but make sure what the answers you get from them is not their opinions. It's a show you scripture to back it up, okay? Cross-reference, do a lot of things. Because here we're going to make you from a novice to get you out there to be at least advanced in how to handle yourself with the Bible. Because the Bible comes from the grand creator of the universe, and he wants you to know about him. And the only way you're going to get to know about him is by studying. It's the only way. You have to study the Bible. I hope that's clear. I hope that helps you out a lot. Get you going. So that's the reason why you want to study the Bible, because the grand creator is the one and only author of the Bible, period. The one and only. The last segment of our show here, if you will, is supposed to be talking about Hollywood preachers, but I'm not going to go into Hollywood preachers. I'm going to leave that up to you to figure that out for yourself. You may already figure that out for yourself anyway in some cases. I just ask people to look up the do's and the don'ts, the good and the bad about these individuals that are preaching from the pulpit, you know, making multi-millions of dollars. I mean, this is something I just want you to look for yourself. Let you be the judge of this. I've already got my judgment on that already, and I'll judge people. I'm just saying I already know what I think of most of that. There's some noble people that are trying, and there's some others that are just trying to get rich. But you yourself need to start looking to that, because you may be surprised and find out that you're already going to a church of a certain person that may not be having your interests at heart, period. And this is the thing to remember about Hollywood preachers. But we will talk about them at a later date. Trust me, that will happen. We'll discuss them at a later date. Probably talk about them next week. But I just wanted you to understand, the Guru Preacher Show is here to stay. These are the topics we have today. And I'll tell you what, when you summarize all these, remember there is a God out there that cares for you, truly cares for you. But also remember the golden rule, treat others like you'd like to be treated too. Show empathy for others. Help others if you can. And again, study the Bible, man. Study it, because it's a great book to learn from. I learned a lot. I still learn more as I keep going through it. It's something that you just can't put down. You know, you got it in your hand. It's there. So, hey, here we are. That's what I want. Not going to close with any songs. Just going to close up. Have a good day.
Yes.